you know, what happened is horrific, but you can't really be surprised. For some time now, political divisions within the United States have been getting worse. You know, very harsh, toxic language used against political opponents, persons with opposing views, you know, they're essentially labeled as enemies. Unending culture wars between the left and the right, and the middle ground, the man in the street, is completely confused. A winner-take-all mentality without compromises. Add in a general worsening of public life and easy availability of high-grade weapons. And a society that crime, where, you know, crime has, is seen to have gotten out of control, and the drug situation is seen to have gotten out of control. And now you get killings of high-profile political activists. You have seen Democrats being attacked, shot dead too. You have seen Republicans and those on the right being attacked. And Charlie Kirk is a victim of this. Really, you step back and you ask, a key purpose of democracy, having a democratic process and structure, is that people will have differences within society on how to structure society, how to deal with problems. And you try and deal with the differences through available fora, including in Singapore, say, Parliament. You try and manage the differences, identify a way forward that benefits the broadest section of society. Some compromises are necessary, and that's what politics is about, should be about. And in Singapore, our situation, you know, is so far we have avoided some of the things that you're seeing in other countries. We have a much calmer situation, but there are some worrying signs. Really, the starting point is that, and the way we structure our society, you have to have law and order before you can have proper democratic discourse. If people are shooting at each other, it's difficult to have a proper discourse. Law and order means people must feel safe. There must be low crime. You need to create trust in institutions. So if you look at our approach, zero tolerance for gun violence, zero tolerance for drug trafficking, zero tolerance for hate speech and speech inciting violence, and we are tough on crime. So if you discharge a gun, you face the death penalty. If you do drug trafficking, you face the death penalty. If you incite violence or engage in hate speech, you face severe punishments. If you encourage violence against any racial or religious group or any group of persons, you will face punishment. If you go on the street and rant and rave against a racial group or try and burn a holy book in the name of free speech, in the US you can, because it's free speech. In Singapore, you'll go to jail. You commit a crime, you're likely to be punished, and it won't take very long. And, you know, while we are tough on crime, we are also focused quite extensively on rehabilitation, so that once you serve your sentence, you have a good chance of staying away from crime. I mean, what can the response be? A man gets killed by an assault rifle, probably, and you celebrate it. I think it's despicable. Yeah, I think, you know, people can have different viewpoints. You try and discuss them, you can disagree, very vehemently, but to say that such a person ought to be killed because you have a different view, I think it shows a very sorry state of affairs and a coarsening of public discourse. But don't for one moment think that Singaporeans are somehow very different in our makeup from those in other countries. The situation in Singapore is different. Not because we are inherently different from the Americans or other countries. It's different because of our laws and our social policies, and the fact that we have been able to explain that and get the buy-in from our population. And the government tries to keep a, PAP government tries to keep a broad tent and tries to be as inclusive as possible, but it means making compromises. And I see some worrying trends where some politicians are playing the politics, identity politics, based on race, based on religion. We have seen that. And in every country there is profit, political profit in doing that. If we go down that route, well, ultimately Singapore will suffer. So far, we have largely avoided it. But I see worrying signs. You know, I start by saying the assassination is despicable, regardless of whether you agree or disagree with Charlie Kirk's views. Why that has happened, I've attempted to set out. When you start using very toxic language to describe your opponents, they are the outgroup, you try and make them sound subhuman just because they have different viewpoints. And if they are subhuman, you can go and use violence against them, right? Add in availability of guns and the other factors I mentioned. I think you can understand that things will take a certain course. And it cannot be a winner-take-all situation. You know, you have to compromise within different sections of society. And everybody has got to feel that they have a stake. And they have to trust the institutions. They have to trust parliament. They have to trust judiciary. They have to trust the police force, the SAF, that the government is, on the whole, working for them. They have to trust the media. And Singapore, so far, is a high-trust society. And I hope Singaporeans will continue to eschew identity politics. The moment we go down the route and we encourage politicians who play identity politics, then that's highly corrosive for society. And that's I think, a key lesson. As I said, I see some worrying signs. I hope that we won't go down that route.